Hi and welcome to today's screencast. Today we're gonna talk about how to build your own custom activity to be used in SharePoint Designer. As you can use SharePoint Designer to create workflows, we're gonna create our own custom activity to extend the functionality of the SharePoint Designer. My name is Kalle Becker. I work for Microsoft. You can reach me at kalleb@microsoft.com. Send me an email, tell me if you liked it, tell me what you didn't like about this screencast. All good feedbacks get forwarded to my boss so I get more time to do these kinds of things. You can also read my blog. I don't write that much, but it will be interesting for you because I use a lot of internet articles for this topic, and I have all the links on my blog to those articles. Just want to begin by saying what we're about to do here. We have a site in SharePoint that I named Custom Activity that has a document library called Share Documents. And in that document library, I have a document called On the Insert tab. So I'm going to create a custom activity that modifies a field or a column for this document library. Of course, those activities aren't available in SharePoint Designer today. And you can modify this to do whatever you want, but I'm going to show you how to connect your custom activity with the list item that is connected to this workflow. Just a short demo here of SharePoint Designer. If we create a new workflow here, Workflow. And there we go. So we can see here we have a workflow that we are going to create. We're going to put it on Share Documents. And what we're going to do is we're going to build our own action. So you can see here we have all these actions to choose from today out of the box from the product team. Thank you for those. But they are not quite, they are a little bit limited. So let's say that you have a workflow that you want to gather information from a web service or depending on a field in your or metadata on your object, you want to do some lookup of that customer from your CRM system, then that action of course is not available here because I mean the product group couldn't develop every action. So what they did was they gave us an infrastructure to build our own actions that we can do. And the reason for building your own action is that once you have built this action and deployed it to SharePoint, your information workers are able to create their own workflows that are suited exactly after their business needs. Building a workflow from SharePoint Designer is much, much easier than to do it from Visual Studio. So that's the reason why you want to maybe perhaps want to do this action is you can build several actions, deploy it to your information workers or your power users, and then they can customize the workflow and the exact order that these actions are going to take place. Of course, they're going to need a developer for building the actions, but once that is done, they are able to use those actions wherever they want. So I told you about all these fantastic articles on the internet that I've read. The one I would start with was Building Custom Activities for Use in SharePoint Designer 2007, and this is made by Patrick Tissingham in 2007, so I'm just 2 years behind. There's a movie here that you can watch online to see him do the get this up and running. I think this is a very good starting point, but you will once you have done this, you want to take it further and you want to do some extra stuff, then you need to gather some more information. And luckily for us, the SharePoint Designer team has made an excellent blog post about this. Microsoft SharePoint Designer team blog, getting to workflow information. So this is about how to connect your workflow with the with a list item that you're running the workflow on. So I'm going to start with a Tissingham article. And what's nice about this is, for instance, that he's written here what you need to do to prepare your development environment. Install Visual Studio, I've done that. Install the extensions, of course, I've done that as well. And he also have a lot of text here. Read it carefully, you will learn something at least. And he also down here at the bottom written a 6-point step program that you can use to if you follow these 6 points, you will be able to make your own action. So I'm going to follow this by heart, and then I'm going to extend it some more. So let's crank up Visual Studio. And once you have the developer environment installed correctly and installed the extensions for it, you will have some extra projects that you can create. And one of those projects are under Visual C Sharp workflow, you have something called Workflow Activity Library. So we're going to call this Kalle's Activity. Kalle's Activity. Click OK. And then Visual Studio is going to create all these files for us. And here we are. So we can view code for this one. To click a little bit harder, I guess. See, I have my own activity one here, and it inherits from sequence activity. So that's all good and that's perfect. Now, to do this, we have to connect some of the properties that you set when you create a workflow in SharePoint Designer with our code. And to do that, there's an excellent article out there from a guy called David Behrens' blog, where he shows you how to get the context item in Workflow Activity SharePoint. So according to him, we have some snippets called WDP, dependency property. So let's fire that one up and see what happens. WDP. Tab, and you see this snippet creates some kind of dependency property that I can give it a name, my text property, and it is of type string. And we can see here also it's type of activity one, which is great, which are our class name, of course. And this text property that we have now created is something that you can put in the designer. I can show you where that comes from in a little while. What we need to do is, if we go back to Tissingham's article, you can see here that we have used Visual Studio to create the workflow activity. We have exposed properties, dependency property. Now this will need to be done in a little bit, it's not this easy, you have to do a little bit more things. One thing that you have to do is you have to create some kind of .actions file, it's down here, that will tell SharePoint Designer about your custom activity. So if we go back to the code, we can open up a file that is in the Hive under template 1033 workflow. We have something called wss.actions, and this is the actions file for the custom activities that SharePoint Designer, the team for behind SharePoint Designer, has made. So you can read this through and get a feel on how this action files works. I just wanted to show you what it looks like. And now we're going to create our own actions file and place it in the same directory. And by doing that, SharePoint Designer will find it and it will use that to tell the the designer on how to render this action that we have made. So we create a new, add new item, data, new XML file, call it Kalle's activity.actions and add it. And then we're gonna put some text in here. And the information about this actions file we can find from the SharePoint team blog. They have written this article, and way down here we're gonna find a lot of information about this workflow. So we take this text, we copy it, and we paste it into our actions file. Now the action name here we have here, this text is the one that will come up in the actions list, so let's call it Kalle's activity. The assembly is Kalle's activity. The version is of course number one. We're gonna need the public key token, which we haven't created yet. The class name is the assembly, or no, it's not the assembly, it's the namespace, which is the same, but we're gonna show it anyway. Here, there's the namespace, paste that in. And the class is not called myActivity, it's called activity1. And we're gonna tell, give it a sentence here. I'm gonna say, let's see, set this field to, set this field. So we're gonna, it's gonna be a sentence saying set this field, and then it will be a placeholder for our value. And then we're gonna give it a field name, which is the field name has to be the same as my text here, so it's this one. Oops, I'm gonna copy that one and paste it here. We're not gonna use this. And the design type is not gonna be parameter names, it's gonna be text area. And the ID is going to be 1. And of course this field here is going to be the same as here. It's not going to be an int, it's going to be a string, and the direction is going to be in. So the information that we have in this is going to be sent into the workflow. The example that the SharePoint team blog points to, they go the other way. We also have another parameter here called underscore underscore activation properties. And these properties, or these activation properties, are the ones that can be used to get information about the object that this workflow is running on. So the list item, what site it's working on and stuff like that. So this is very useful. We're going to use that one. We're going to need to put that into our code here as well. And we're going to get this code from our favorite article. So we crank the article up. So there were the, now we're going to pick out this activation properties, and of course they've written the code for us already. So we just take this dependency property, we copy it, copy, and we paste it. Okay, let's try that one more time. There we are. Right click, copy into the virtual PC, paste it, and we get some extra lines of space here that we're gonna remove. So here we have the activation properties. So let's check this out. The activation property is type of something in Microsoft.SharePoint.Workflow.SPWorkflow activation properties. And of course, this doesn't resolve to class name yet. Why not? Because we haven't added the reference. So let's add a reference to our favorite DLL. And we can browse to our DLL. And as you all know, I have a shortcut into the Hive. So into the Hive, iSAPI, and our favorite DLL, of course, is Microsoft.SharePoint.DLL. So we add that as a reference. And now we can see we have the color coding here that this is a class. Now if we scroll a little bit further, we see that it's type of my activity. And my class isn't called my activity because I didn't rename it. So it's still activity one. So let's copy that one. Go down to this. Change this my activity into this activity one. And we are now almost done. We need to add some code here. Override, execute. So, and we add a breakpoint here. Oops, add a breakpoint here. So this is the execute method. So when our activity is run, this is the function that is going to be called. And here we could have add some code for accessing a web service and stuff like that. I'm going to show you a little bit about this a little bit later, but I just want to have a breakpoint here to show that it works. And of course, there is one big thing left to do, or there are two big things left to do. One is the signing of our assembly. So let's sign this. Signing. Okay. And then we build this. And there we're done. So we built our assembly. Now we're going to add this to the GAC. Global assembly cache. And our binary is of course placed in Visual Studio 2008 projects, Calles activity. There we have it. We add this to the GAC and we take the properties for this, and we have the public key token there. And this public key token, it has to be inserted into our actions file. Over here in the public key token area, we place our real token there. So now we have made a actions file is now complete. So let's save that, and of course let's save that in the right spot, which is save as, into the Hive, into template 1033, and into the workflow. So we save it over here. Sounds great. Let's close that one down. So we have the actions file saved in the right place. There's one more thing we have to do to make this work. We have to open up the web.config for the site that is going to use this and mark our assembly as something that is okay to use. So into the virtual directory, into our site, into the web.config, and almost at the bottom we have something called authorized type assembly. And this is very well specified in the Patrick's screencast, so you can read about it there. But we're gonna say this is the assembly, Calles Activity. activity. The version is number 3. The culture is neutral. The public key token is this. Nope, it's not that. Sorry for that. Let's go back to where we had it the last time. There it is. And paste it in there. Perfect. The namespace. I just took the last row and copied it and pasted it in and then added it. So the namespace for this activity is called Calle's activity, of course. How could I forget that? And the type name here is star, which is everything. All the classes in this is marked as safe. So this assembly, we say that this is the safe assembly. And then we save it. And we go into the Tissingham list and we see what have we forgotten. Signed assembly, we done that. Authorize the custom activity in the web.config, we done that as well. We have created an actions file. Looks like we've done everything. So let's, I'm gonna restart this SharePoint Designer. Oops. Create a new workflow. Let's call it workflow 1 and take it to our shared documents. Take next and let's just open up some more actions and we see here we have shows an action, Calle's activity, and that text is of course directly taken from this text here. So we take that, we add it, and you see set this field underscore 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 is of course from here. Set this field percent one. So let's set this field and say it, call it Calle's field. And there we have it. And let's finish this up and deploy it to our SharePoint site. And there we have it. So let's do a refresh on this one. And of course, let's go into this. We have a breakpoint here, so let's debug attach to process. Let's take the W3P attached to them. And by doing so, when we start this workflow on this document, workflow 1, and start, we will eventually end up into the debugger. And there we go. So now we have all the possibilities that we want to create a call to web service or something. I just wanted to show you a couple of things here. Now, first of all, my text, the property that we created, it's called Calle's field. So that text is copied from the designer where we entered Calle's field into the text there. The other thing I want to show you is the activation properties. So let's take this one, drag it down to watch, and let's make this a little bit bigger. And we have here a lot of interesting information. The history list ID, we have the item ID, we have the item URL, we have the list that we're looking for, and we also have the item. So to get to the item of that is associated with this workflow, just type item, and then we have the item here, and we will have the display name, and we will also have a lot of other interesting properties, for instance. So we have here's the properties for this document that we are running on, and we have a lot of other interesting things as well. So what you can do is you can, let's just run this through. We didn't do anything, so nothing happened, so it's not very interesting. But let's add a new, let's create a column that we call Kalle's field. Single line of text is just fine for me. And then OK. And then we edit properties for this one. And we put in Kalle's field, we say hello. OK. And then let's run this again, the workflow. Start. Here we are. And if we now type this one and here we write Kalle's field and enter, we have the hello text. And we can also change this. We could do a thing like this and put, set it to world to complete the sentence. Now, of course, this doesn't change a bit, because if we wanted this to take effect, we have to update this list item as well. So we have to write a little bit more code to do something useful. I'm just showing you how easy it is to get to the field of this document from the document library. You just activation properties dot item, and then we have Kalle's field here. And that's about all I wanted to show you today. I just want to, before we end this session, I want to give some credit to another guy on the internet, which is a colleague of mine, Gabe Hall. He's written a blog post called Microsoft SharePoint Designer. He's on the designer team, and he's clearing the SharePoint Designer workflow assembly cache. And when you develop your own custom activity and you modify it and you start bug fixing it and stuff like that, eventually you will get into a state where the SharePoint Designer is not synchronized with your latest changes. And no matter what you change, it doesn't end up in the SharePoint Designer. So with these 7 easy to follow steps, you clear the cache for the SharePoint Designer, and by doing so you will end up having your SharePoint Designer in a good state. So at least you know that it's not SharePoint Designer that is causing you the problems. So it's very easy to do. All you could go into your app data local Microsoft website cache and you delete all the files there, and then it works just as you expected. So thank you for listening. Send me an email, visit my blog. Thank you for listening.